WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
just... And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button on the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the other way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. Yep, that's what the calendar says. Thursday. We're here on a Thursday. It's a Rack. You tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live here tonight on this Thursday.
That's right. It's totally a Thursday, everybody. Not any other day. Anyway, yeah, we have a lot to get into. We're talking Backlash, we have news, we have notes, so I say we don't waste any time and we jump right into the news. Back to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Exciting news coming out of Backlash, which we're going to talk about later. As announced this past Saturday, Lucha Libre AAA will be holding its largest annual event, Triple Mania, across two nights for the first time ever this September. Triple Mania 34 will take place on Friday, September 11th at a location to be announced, followed by Arena CDMX in Mexico City on Sunday, September 13th. Oh, so it's not just like 2 days concurrent. It's like Friday, everybody gets a break, and then Sunday.
I think you could figure out why there's a gap between days.
Because they have to travel?
One's probably in the States, which is the unconfirmed one on Friday. And then they'll go to Mexico for the 13th.
That may make sense.
The only holdup from them announcing the date for the 11th is visas. Trying to get everyone's visas so they can work here in the States, which is why it hasn't been confirmed yet. But they got a couple more months to to figure that all out. So once they do,
I'm sure
they'll work it out and they'll see who they can get on the show, and then they'll announce the venue and such. If not, they'll go back to Mexico for two nights. But I would assume, they'll have it. I would assume it's in maybe Arizona or Texas, somewhere like that, where they'll put a show. Texas wouldn't be the worst idea, just because they have a lot of buildings that they could run there, and you can get some crossover audience. So that would make a lot of sense. If it's in Texas, Taker doesn't have to travel far, and he'll probably enjoy that.
I mean, to be fair, Texas is a huge ass state, so he's still gonna have to travel kind of far, but not like cross country far. Maybe cross state, but
if Taker got his way, it's somewhere local to him. So, you know,
it's going to be in Austin, y'all.
I mean, there are plenty of venues near Austin, so they could run.
They could do the thing. So up next, TKO and Arizona Sports and Events Alliance announced a landmark agreement to bring marquee UFC, WWE, PBR, and Zuffa boxing events to Arizona. The 7-event partnership over 3 years will feature premier live sports and entertainment experiences in Arizona. TKO Group Holdings with, everybody else. Together with the Arizona Sports Events Alliance, today announced a multi-year agreement that will stage a series of premier events in Arizona with the above brands I have just mentioned. The 7-event agreement will span 3 years and feature some of TKO's most high-profile live events, creating new opportunities for fans to experience UFC, WWE, PBR, and Zuffa boxing events in one of the country's leading sports and entertainment markets. We're excited to build this long-term partnership with the Arizona Sports and Events Alliance to bring some of our biggest events to the state. Peter Droppick, oh, he had fun in school, Executive Vice President, Event Development and Operations for TKO. We look forward to creating unforgettable moments for fans across the region over the next 3 years. Arizona has proven... Okay, where's the actual stuff? Anyway, there's no actual stuff. So, 7-event partnership over 3 years. Let's go.
Yeah, the 7 events over 3 years, there was talk of it being major WWE events. That those reports are false. Who knows what they could be? One would assume they get a big event, maybe a Survivor Series, maybe a Royal Rumble or of some sort at some point. Should be interesting to see what plays out of it. But hey, Arizona's getting stuff.
Yay!
But they do this with all, they're locking down the buildings, locking down the cities, they're locking down all the groups to like these deals where they can, hey, we can overload your city for a weekend with a WWE event and a UFC event, or a boxing event and a UFC event back to back, or the PBR and WWE, whatever it is, you're gonna get a WWE weekend and they can run the same building and, you know, all the thing.
Yeah. And plus they're scheduling out 2027 and likely 2028, getting what they can. Because if it's 3 years, then this is going into 2029, which means, yeah, they're in the process of scheduling everything out. So that makes sense.
Either scheduling it out or having, hey, we have all X, Y, and Z booked out for whenever we need to. Not the exact dates or whatnot, but at least, hey, we have agreements with these cities that we can do some stuff. And it keeps other people out of certain buildings because we have agreements with them.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Funny how that worked. Yep.
Speaking of kind of that, not really, bad segue, WWE has announced 10 new live event dates as part of its 2026 summer tour. Tickets for each live event will go on sale Wednesday, May 20th at 10 a.m. local time. Fans can purchase individual event tickets during an exclusive pre-sale starting Tuesday, May 19th. We all know what happens on May 19th at 10 a.m. local. Tickets and event information can be found at www.com/events. So starting in July on the 11th, they're going to the Pan American Center in Las Cruces, New Mexico. On the 12th, they're going to Albuquerque. On the 16th, they're going to Allentown, PA. On the 25th, they're going to Stockton, California. On the 26th, they'll be in Bakersfield, California. On the 30th, they will be in Springfield, Illinois. On August 6th, they will be in Fairfax, Virginia. On the 13th, they will be in Manchester, New Hampshire. On the 29th, they're going to be in Savannah, and they're closing everything out on the 30th of August in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, it's house shows, live events. They're back for the summer. Everyone wanted them. Here they are. And they're going to be a lot cheaper price than television. So there's your affordability. You're going to pay lower prices. You'll pay for probably lower production value because it's not a television event. And you'll still see some of your favorite talent. So that's big.
Interesting that they're doing it.
There's been a lot of pushback from talent. They want to work.
Yeah.
So giving them the opportunity to work, because when your top guys are saying, hey, we need to work, it will help the performances on television and on PLEs where they'll be able to work with talent beforehand and you can rehearse some stuff there, so you're not going out there cold. A lot of the problems with some of the matches we see on Raw and SmackDown and whatnot is because a lot of talent's going in there cold now. It's the first time they're working with somebody. And it's also, you're not, Roman Reigns works once a month or once every 3 months. It's one of those things where if you were able to get in there for a weekend with somebody, you the matches will run smoother. And then they all talk, well, I wish we had more time to do this. Now wrestler X, Y, and Z will have more time to do this because there's no time structure on the house show. You have a time structure, but if you go over by a minute, no one's going to be yelling down your throat.
Yeah. I think it's beneficial for everybody overall. Like, the cheaper ticket prices are very nice for the fans. The fans get to see live events in their areas. It's a good balance. And the wrestlers get to work. Like, the talent gets to go out and work, because it's like, you just can't roll down to your normal gym and like just practice with somebody. I'm sure they could if they had somebody. I'm sure there are people they could practice with, but it's like, in terms of somebody that you're wrestling a feud with, they may or may not live in your same city. So it's, you don't get the chance to work each other except for like maybe once a week. So yeah, you can get in the ring while they're setting up the show and you could practice and you can work and you can do other things, but it's not the same as these individuals going out every weekend and working the same match or slightly different variations of the same match every weekend in different cities and different towns and working out the kinks. That's like, I think that's been the one detriment to the product, is the fact that they did cut down on the travel schedule. Like, it's great for the talent. It's amazing for the talent, right? They get to be home more, which is always a plus for them. But at the same time, they are not working as much. And so they aren't ironing out those kinks. They aren't practicing as much. And so we're seeing now where some of those, like, that cost is in them not doing that. Like, we saw it, for example, with, you know, Io and Sol Ruka, where it was a good match, but you could see the flaws in it because they hadn't had time to work it out fully.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have that rhythm and that chemistry and that, like, everything established that they would get working house shows every weekend. They were kind of figuring things out as they go on live TV, and that's always awkward. So we're seeing that more and more. I hope they continue to do this where they bring live events back slowly. Like, I'm not saying full time. They don't have to go back to the 300 plus days a year. But like, you know, this is a good thing that you do 6 weeks and you have them go out and wrestle in front of crowds. And yeah, you don't have TV. You can just have fun. You can just figure things out and get some practice and let's go.
And they're doing it in the summer. You don't have to do it like all year round, but in the summer, more people are open to going to do things on a Thursday compared to in the fall. And, right, school's out, so you're able to go to do things. So this is the perfect opportunity. And a lot of the live events have been held in Europe, which you're doing next month. So now the states finally get it. And if it's a lower price, so you're going to have a lower production cost probably for what you're running, a small set, you know, small crew of, or, you know, putting up the ring and stuff. And you hope they sell out, which means you'll be profitable. And that's what counts. It has to be profitable for them to continue to do it. So if they're in your area, go see it. Because if you want them to have house shows and live events in your area, go see it. And they're doing it in places they don't bring the big live events to. So that's also a big deal. This is for smaller cities and whatnot that don't get Raw and SmackDown on the regular.
Yeah. So yay! Moving on to AEW. This one's a little interesting. AEW has filed a lawsuit against Triller TV and its parent company, Triller Group Inc., alleging the streaming platform owes AEW just under $5 million in unpaid revenue from pay-per-view sales and from proceeds for AEW+. The legal complaint alleges Triller TV's parent company used AEW-derived revenues to fund other businesses, including a social media platform that never took off, rather than paying AEW what it was owed. Oh my.
Yeah, Triller TV, Fight TV, former Fight TV. Triller's still running. AEW's left the platform. That's why they started My AEW, because they were spending it on it's like a TikTok app that they focus on, like a TikTok style app for their views and clips and whatever. They've poured money into, which is why AEW, I guess, wasn't being paid and such. GCW said they've been paid and what have you, but again, smaller, bigger scale, and they're still on Triller. So we'll see what comes of it. But it was one of those times, like, huh, that's a story to look to see where that goes. And if Triller closes, then they're whatever, and that company gets sold off, and we'll see if they get paid.
Yeah, if Triller declares bankruptcy, AEW could be a creditor, and then they could get some of their money back. They may not get the full $5 million, but we'll see. I don't know what Triller has in assets or anything like that, but I will say it's probably going to cost them at least $5 million, if not more, to just do the lawsuit, unless they just settle it, which that could be a case where they just settle it out of court, and they get some, if not all, of the money back, because obviously this is just for more, hey, you didn't pay us, so we're gonna go public with this to try and get the money.
Pretty much.
So yeah, well, that does it for the news. I say we take a break, and when we come back, we talk about Backlash. So you'll send the rack right here on wallstockradio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you, always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use supported creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Hi, this is Pete Gass of the Mean Street Posse and author of my new book, Looking at the Light, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, well, you can use it for free for here for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down below the screen. I can fucking talk, I swear to God. Anyway, hit the button, subscribe, do the thing. Anyway, we're going to be talking about backlash and things, maybe.
Backlash. We're talking backlash. The show Joey Styles couldn't call. Backlash. What'd you think?
Overall, I thought it was a good show. Like, it was entertaining. It delivered, I think, on every single match. Like, some, I feel, were a little bit stronger and were a little bit better than others. I know this was somewhat controversial. This show, people had a mad at this show. For reasons, but overall, I thought it was good. I thought it was entertaining.
I feel like they paced the show well. Mm-hmm. Commercials were not a hindrance compared to other events like WrestleMania, and you now know why WrestleMania was what it was because it's WrestleMania. There's a lot of money that gets generated from that event. A lot of ad time mm-hmm. gets sold for that event because it's the biggest show of the year. So they have to play to all their partners. For a show like Backlash, it's not going to be as full advertising because there's still going to be the same amount of ad breaks, but less ads because you're not selling as much ad content for Backlash because you're not putting as much money behind said show. Just like Clash in Italy, there won't be as much money put behind it because it's not WrestleMania. But come SummerSlam, you'll probably see the same ad load you saw for WrestleMania, kind of, for that show, because it's a two-night event. But they were able to pace out the matches better here. Every match got enough time to showcase stuff. They got a lot of time for most of the matches. Everything was over 10 minutes, so people really can't complain too hard. They still do, but they don't can't complain too hard about it. And you got a big announcement coming out of the show that people still are very confused about. And like they were like, oh, I guess winning doesn't matter. Well, winning matters, but you're letting the fans vote for something different and unique with the John Cena Classic. And you let the, like, they're judging the event on, based on his hyping of it. And he flat out said, it's just work in progress. They're figuring it all the details out. But they gave you an announcement that was not Club WWE.
Because it wasn't Club WWE, so, you know, we shouldn't complain about that.
So, like, I'm happy that they're trying something. If it fails, it fails, and guess what? They come back with something different. But apparently, Netflix was like, sign us up. So, like, I mean, right there, you'd be like, okay, cool.
This is in line with, like, the John Cena stuff is in line with, like, the Mae Young Classic and some of the other stuff that they've done in the past. And I think what I like about it is that there's a comeback round, or there's, like, an elimination round where if you were eliminated, you can work your way back into the competition by, you know, other means. Whether that's people can vote you back in, whether that's, you know, you fight your way back into the competition, however you want to look at it. Like, it's not a one and done, right? It gives people a chance to really shine. Cause it's like, what if you go out there and have a bad match? Because we all know it's predetermined, but it's like, what if you go out there and you don't show everything you have and you kind of hold back? Well, you get a chance to potentially show it again. So that encourages people.
You show it again. The fans will just vote who wins. I don't think there's a second match. I think it's one match. We don't know the details. Again, they're figuring it out. And that's the best part. Wait till it's fully announced before we fully judge something that's like, well, I can't believe the wins and losses don't matter. It's like, yeah, and they've been saying that for a decade. Like, what do you want from them? Would you have been happy if a Club WWE announcement was the thing he came out? Everyone would have booed and shit all over.
I feel like we're missing the point of what this is, which is, it's not about who wins, although we all very much care who wins, like, that's important, but, like, how they get there, that's what we're all focusing in on. What we're not focusing in on is the fact that this is a showcase for current stars who are trying to work their way up and future stars who are not yet debuted, but they're giving a shot. Like, this is a showcase for up-and-comers, for people that we haven't seen yet, for people who maybe need that breakout moment, right? This is another opportunity to make someone, because that's ultimately WWE's goal with this, is they're looking at the current roster and they understand that they need to make new people. They need to get people, their main event scene, ready to go for when, you know, your Seth Rollinses and what have you start to retire, when Roman leaves, if Seth leaves, da 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 da, on down the line, because eventually they will leave, they will retire, they'll go on and do something else, that you have somebody that can effortlessly step into that role and they don't have a power vacuum. Like, they've learned that lesson before. So this is their opportunity to take someone that potentially we know nothing about and make them into a star. That's the point of this, because that's how John Cena got his start. The Ruthless Aggression. Right? John Cena came out and wrestled Kurt Angle, and then he made something of himself after that, because he got himself the shot. This is very much along the same lines. And they're leaving it up to the fans, which is a John Cena thing to do, right? Because he is a man of the people, I guess. I don't know. Like, the important thing here is that somebody's going to potentially get made, or this is going to help elevate somebody at the very least. That is the purpose and intention behind this tourney, and I'm 100% behind that.
Yeah,
because I think there are plenty of people that need a shot,
and that's the whole point. Give someone a chance. It worked at Saturday Night's main event. It got Oba Femi and Cena in the audience. It got Sol Ruka seen in front of a bigger audience. It's, they gotta get a chance at some point.
This is an easy way to do that. A really simple, easy way to do that. So let's stop focusing on the weird until we get it, because I'm sure it'll be weird. But like, let's stop focusing on the weird and let's focus on what matters, which is that people are going to be seen and acknowledged, and that's great. I think there was also some, because I do kind of want to talk about it, feelings, we'll say, around the Danhausen match.
Like what feelings did you see?
I saw some people were upset about the cloning machine and the Minihausen. I saw some other people were upset about just the match in general, that it wasn't, I guess, what they were expecting, which I'm not sure what they were expecting, because Danhausen is a comedy wrestler.
It's comedy. Were you expecting Oba Femi? No. Did people want CM Punk just for the lulz? Yeah, but you weren't getting Punk. Like, the idea was a comedy match to break up the seriousness of the show. And that's what Danhausen is. He's comedic, and The Miz and Kit Wilson fit the role to play off of super well. Like, the match was comedy. It was enjoyable. It was a spectacle. But those same people who probably were not as excited for Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn. Like, it's the same vein of just pure comedy, and pure comedy. Where Kaiju Big Battle is pure comedy and is still in business. You see it all the time. Comedic athlete wrestlers do comedic things and it works. We mentioned it on Sunday. It's like Orange Cassidy isn't a very serious wrestler. He's very serious, but he's also comedic at times, and it gets over. Sometimes the not so serious stuff gets over the most, and guess what? The fans in the building popped for all the midgets to come out of that the box.
They were
excited and they had fun. And guess what? Wrestling's supposed to be fun.
Exactly. Like, my whole thing with it was, the only thing I did not like about it was some of Wade Barrett's commentary. I felt that was a little questionable, but like, in terms of the match itself, the way that everything was presented, I thought it was great. I thought it was super entertaining. Like, it's a comedy match. He's a comedy wrestler. I'm like, to your point, would it have been cool if somebody else had come out? Yeah, of course it would have been. But that's not Danhausen. The way that he's been presented in WWE is he's very much sort of a loner, and he's going to do his own thing, and it's going to be weird, and it's going to be funny. And it's going to be very, what I would say, quintessentially Danhausen. And having CM Punk come out, well, then you have to, you know, explain how that happened, right? Like, did Danhausen just like roll up to Punk and was like, hey, I need a partner. Join me or you're cursed. Like, you know, there's no setup for it. It was a surprise. That was the whole point. Like, I liked it. I thought it was cute. I thought it was fun. And it worked. It's the stupidest shit you've ever seen, right? It's still stupid. Everything Danhausen does is stupid, but it's entertainingly stupid. It's not cringe. It's kitsch. It's camp. And that's what makes it entertaining, is you just sit there and you just laugh at it and you have fun, because that's what it's meant to be. There's no deeper meaning behind it than that. right? He is purposely, like, dressed to look scary, but he's very nice and he's very evil. And he just walks around and does his own thing.
And the crowd loves it.
And
the crowd loves it.
Like, he is an attraction at this stage. He is an attraction. That is what they have brought him in to be, and he's owning the shit out of it. And I hope he's getting that bag. Like, I seriously hope he's making a shit ton of money right now. And if he is, good for you, sir. But yeah, like, when everybody was like, oh my god, they're going to that, like, you know, the box thing too much, or they're going to the mystery angle too much. Like, that was the thing, like, they're going to do the mystery angle thing too much. What? What? Like, the last time they did it was Danhausen's debut. And if you noticed, for the cloning machine, it was the same box he debuted in. They just cut a window in it and slapped the word cloning machine on it. But it was the same exact crate or box or whatever it was, like the same prop. They just altered it. It's a nice little callback to when he debuted. And I actually saw somebody joking online that it's like, well, when the Minihausens kind of run their course, which that's partially what drove this, was everybody saw the reaction to the Minihausens at WrestleMania. And they were like, well, shit, we got to do this again. But like, everybody saw the reaction. So it's like, well, when those run their course, why don't we get a giant Danhausen? Get somebody who's like 6'8 and built like a brick shithouse to come out as a Danhausen. Why not?
Omashausen.
Omashausen. Like, you know, why not? What's stopping them? Nothing. Like, that's the beauty of this. Is there, it is such a simple thing, but there's so much versatility with this. And I guess I understand why people are mad, but I also don't understand why people are mad. You know, like, it's for every indie person that comes in, for every indie talent that we see, we always see them get changed and altered. And I could be very wrong on this, but as far as I know, Danhausen has never been serious. He's never been like the Gurr Arg wrestler. He's always been straight comedy. And they are presenting him as he, I believe, has always been presented. There are virtually no alterations that I can see to his character or his anything that he's doing. If anything, it's turned up to 12 or 15 for what he is doing. And I don't understand with that knowledge why people would be upset about the partner situation beyond they wanted something different. Like, obviously, I understand and respect that. But like, to me, it didn't bother me. I thought it was funny as shit, personally.
It was funny. I enjoyed it. It was a solid match. It did everything it needed to do.
So let's jump to the start of the show and let's talk about it. Because speaking of, I guess, not so nice and maybe a little bit less evil, we had Seth Rollins in his emo era taking on Braun Breaker, who was accompanied by Paul Heyman. This was fun.
It was a fun match.
I will say the spear into the pedigree was really nice.
It was very well timed.
Like, and they shot that beautifully.
Yeah. That could have gone wrong, but they timed it really well.
Because, yeah, I was like watching it. I'm like, oh, he's going low on Seth. And then it's, oh, pedigree. It's like, don't hit Seth there. He's fragile.
But yeah, I like the match. I didn't have any complaints. Right person won. It continues the story as we saw on Monday.
You could tell that they were working hard because Seth was tired by the end.
This was Braun's first real match back. Yeah, first match back since being hurt.
He was running Seth around that ring, man.
I mean,
like, by the end, Seth was like winded.
Because Braun Breaker's fat for his big, like, strong as he is, he can get that speed up real fast.
Oh yeah. He's just a beast. The beast is dead. Long live the beast. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, very enjoyable.
Very enjoyable. Liked it a lot. Made Braun look fantastic. No complaints about this whatsoever. Like, I even liked how they handled the interference. Where Seth knew, right? Like, Seth knew that Logan Paul and Austin were coming.
Yeah.
So he waited for them with a chair.
He knew. It's you know what's coming because you set the blueprint for it. And when you know the blueprint, you're ready for it.
Yep. So, great match. Very quality. What the fuck did Trevor Lawrence do to his hair?
What?
I just saw the Jacksonville Jaguars reveal schedule. Hopefully Trevor Lawrence didn't actually cut his hair. And that's a wig.
Well, we shall see.
We shall see. Up next, we had Sami Zayn challenging Trick Williams, accompanied by Little Yachty. For the U.S. Championship, this is the singular return match from WrestleMania. This was good. I feel like this went a lot longer than I guess I thought it would.
I don't know. Wasn't it like the shortest match on the show?
No, the Danhausen match was. By like a minute.
Oh, well. But as far as serious matches go, yeah. I mean, it hit all the peaks for a Sami Zayn match. Especially for Trick Williams match. I like that they're telling the story well with Sammy. It's not a full, it's a heel turn, but it's a layered heel turn.
Mm-hmm. It's slow.
Which is working. Like, I saw a story where he was like, yeah, creative wanted to do a just a normal heel turn. And he's like, no. He fought him on it, and it's like, let's do this with nuance and layers and stuff like that. And it's working. And it's, the crowd is naturally getting behind Trick. The crowd is booing Sami Zayn. I'm curious to see if this feud has ended, which I think it needs to, how mm-hmm. each man reacts from there. But yeah, the match was fine. I thought there's enough callbacks to the with the Singapore Kane from SmackDown that worked. The match worked. It was an enjoyable match. Again, Trick winning was the right call.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I said this on Sunday. Trick Williams is a heel that the fans enjoy cheering, so it works because he's not a babyface. He's just a heel. He's a cool heel that they like to cheer, and that's the way you have to portray him. Let him continue to be the cool heel, because if you make him the babyface, it's not going to work.
No,
don't give him all the babyface tropes. Keep him being the heel people like to cheer, because that's the character.
Yeah, I thought just keep Trick going the way he's going. It's working. Just don't touch it. Just let it work. Just let it cook, as the children say. But yeah, no, there's a really nice balance in this duo, because you have Sammy, who's being the insincere face. He's almost pulling what like Bo was back in the day on NXT, where he's playing the baby face, but he's actually the heel and he's just kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And then you have Trick, who is more of that like chill, cool kind of like bad guy that he's like, yeah, you hate me, but you love me. And the addition of Little Yachty is good for him. Like it helps, you know, it helps like balance him a little bit and just, you know, get that like heat, but not a little bit more. It's difficult to describe. Like at the end when Little Yachty pulled out that stack of cash, I was like, God damn.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not real. Because he was just making it rain behind Trick as he's posing after defeating Sammy. But yeah, I would like to see this feud end. I would like to see them move both of them on to their respective feuds or whatever's coming next for them. I'm not sure what that is. But I feel like this has sort of run its course. You just need to kind of have Sammy continue to go down whatever path he's going to do. And then you need to continue to do like elevate Trick and continue to build Trick. Cause I believe Trick will be a solid contender for the championship, the main championship, by the end of the year, if they keep him the way that he's going.
Tough. I don't know if he will be. We'll see. He has a lot of work to do. He's got to stay hot, but he has a lot of work to do to get to that point. I think the US title is perfect for him right now, so we'll see.
All right, let's talk about it, because this is a contender for match of the night. Io Sky versus Asuka, which is only made more layered by what we now know, which is Asuka's partial retirement after the match.
The swan song of Asuka.
If this is a way to go out, this is what you go out on, because this was fantastic.
I'm glad they
and you wouldn't expect them, anything less.
I'm glad they gave them time. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. The one thing I said last week was it'll be really good if given the time. They were given the time. They treated this match with the respect that it needed, especially knowing that it was the end for Asuka. And it was well known by the creative sources that, yeah, this was coming. They've been planning this as the exodus for Asuka, which, as I mentioned Sunday, kind of explains, hey,
Kairi
Sane is expendable, and you hate saying it that way, but with Asuka taking time and having to go home, when you look at contracts, you go, creatively, what are we going to do with Kairi? And it made more sense to release her, unfortunately. But that, again, when you look at it long term, you now all the pieces kind of fit. But this was a really good match. I expected nothing less from these two. Asuka showed out, Io showed out. They worked a tremendous match. Asuka put Io over, continues to build her as the star that she is on the main roster, and yeah, it was perfect. The and when they hugged afterwards, it was like, okay, you know, there's something there. Now then it's like, oh, now we understand why people got talking afterwards. Like, oh yeah, she's on the way out. She's taking a leave for now, whether it's semi-retirement, full retirement, who knows. But I think she's going to call it, I guess, on the book, semi-retirement, because if she wants to work, she can still work, but her full-time days are done?
I think it's essentially when she wants to, she will. I think it's sort of like the AJ retirement, where it's not so much as a permanent retirement as it is, it's an extended break. And because AJ said that, you know, he's not permanently retired. He's going to come back at some point when he feels up to it. But like, he needs to rest his body. He wants to take time with his kids. I think Asuka very much wants to do the same thing. I think she wants to go home. I think she wants to have a good rest. I think she wants to sort of just like chill for a while. And then when she's ready to come back, come back. Because she's been working pretty nonstop since she came back from injury. So it makes sense that, yeah, number one, she wants to take a break, but number two, that she's also had a very long successful career and she's earned some time to herself. And if that means that she never gets back in the ring again, so be it. She is, in my opinion, at least for WWE, if not other promotions, for sure, a first ballot Hall of Famer, just for all of her accomplishments in every company she's ever been in. And she has the right to sort of rest on her laurels for a minute, or for forever, if that's what she wants.
And when nothing else she can, there's like nothing else she can do in WWE. Mm-hmm. She's had long title reigns. She's wrestled in the biggest matches. There's nothing big time for her to do that she hasn't already done.
It's very much the Edge situation. When Edge left, that there was literally nothing left for him to do. And that's why like him leaving was very poetic, because it's like he's done literally everything. He's achieved everything he can. Which the dream was to get to WWE and become a star. And he has more than achieved that. So it's like now he can go do whatever the hell he wants, which is he went to AEW so he could be with Christian and they could hang out and they could, you know, end their careers together potentially there. But it's like for Asuka, it's what else can she do? You know, she has one of the longest, I think, NXT title reigns in history. She's a multi-time champion on like pretty much, I think, every title they had. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think she's a Grand Slam champion for WWE. So it's like, what else can she do beyond she just fights people for the sake of fighting? And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like, that's not going to add to her list of achievements. And that's only going to put wear and tear on her. So if it's not necessary, why should she have to do it? And in truth, there's nothing necessary that she has to do there.
Yeah. Why tarnish a legacy? Just keep it as it is.
Exactly. So, but yeah, the match, I wouldn't expect the match to be bad between these two. Like, they know each other by like the back of their hands. And this was easily, for me, one of the matches lizard, of the night, lizard, if not the lizard, match of the night.
Lizard.
Okay.
Hi.
I would say match of the night. Yeah, for sure.
But now let's talk about the main event of this show. Roman Reigns. No, not Brie mode.
Brie was not on the show.
Roman Reigns took on Jacob Fatu for the World Heavyweight Championship with the stipulation that if Jacob lost, he had to acknowledge Roman. This was a fight. This is the other contender for match of the night, because this was good.
Roman sold a lot for Jacob.
Oh, he made Jacob look fantastic.
Jacob looked like an unstoppable Samoan werewolf that he is. Roman countering a lot was good. He was very desperate at times. The use of the turnbuckle in the finish showed his desperation. It was a nice way to get like a schmaz finish to protect Jacob, but not, but still kind of clean at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the interference, which we all thought was going to be a thing. But thankfully, we didn't have any interference. You kept it to the two men. Because on Friday on SmackDown, Jacob's like, he knew, like we all knew, that you know they were possibly going to interfere, but they didn't. So they kind of set the stage. Yeah, they're not showing up. They're going to leave it to both of them. It's like, all right, that makes sense. And it worked. Jacob and Roman had a great main event. Closed out the night strong. Jacob's revenge afterwards was very impressive. And they're building a new move that we haven't seen used in WWE for a long time. The tongue and death grip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting over. It's believable. He now needs to beat somebody with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the effectiveness is getting over.
They're doing a wonderful job of making it feel special and making it feel very important. And Jacob is selling and is incredibly vicious. And more importantly, like Roman just put it the fuck over.
He did.
And everybody else in this situation, because there was the stuff at the end after Roman wins by, you know, nefarious means, that Jacob was like, I'm not going to take this quietly. I'm not just going to walk away. I'm not going to be the bigger person here. I'm just going to rip everybody to shreds. And that's exactly what he did, which just recovers him, I feel like, instantaneously, because it's like, nah, you didn't beat me. You survived me barely. And you had to cheat to survive.
Yeah.
Which we saw the follow up to it on Monday of what happened on Monday. So it's like, Roman's got a live one on his hands.
He does.
We'll see if he can survive this one.
We'll probably see again in what, 2-3 weeks, something like that. Two weeks from Sunday at Clash in Italy. So overall, yeah, very solid show.
I thought this was a really, you know, in terms of backlashes, this is probably one of the better backlashes I've seen, because in the past, it's always been, oh, it's Backlash. Oh, it's another WrestleMania rewind. We're just going to see the same shit again because they aren't going to bother to make anything new. I definitely appreciate that we only had one callback match on this entire show, that everything else was, yes, it was an iteration on a storyline, but it was stuff that we had not necessarily seen or, you know, had been given before,
With the Danhausen thing, it was a playoff from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was set up there for this. So overall, it worked.
Overall, great show. Very enjoyable. But with that, I think we're done.
We are, in fact, done. That will do it for the Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night's 50-50. We'll see what happens for CB Radio. But they'll be back Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we're live to talk about it. And we'll be back next Thursday.
I have a structured settlement and I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW.
Get that stuck in everyone's head. We'll be back next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, just search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code RocketSock or
Lin's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop when you buy all the brand new Overwatch skins. They're now available in the Fortnite item shop because of the Overwatch Fortnite crossover. You do so because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitter at Linsward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimbaLinsward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Linsward0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you know, you can head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.